We're going to continue on with, and I did not finish. I know I took up the whole entire time last week for the lesson of the lesson on the wind, but I'm going to move into the lesson of the liar today. I'm not here calling anyone a liar. Do not. You know, years ago people got shot for that. I do not want to get shot today. That's not at all in the works. But we are living in a society, and I'm going to call it a pivotal time in our lives. It is also very important for us to be aware. And if we're not as aware, maybe as we should be, let us be awakened with that awareness that will help us understand where we are with God and in our lives. It's very, very important, and I feel at times an urgency that is overpowering and overwhelming, that I sometimes wonder how to convey that urgency. And I realize I can't of myself. It has to be that God conveys the urgency. And where I draw strength from in that capacity, in that context, is Acts chapter 7, where I've quoted this before, but I'm going to allude to it yet again this morning, that Moses supposed, and the Bible says, and when the time of the promised drew nigh, Moses supposed that his brethren would understand how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they did not. They understood not. They did not understand. So I've realized he had that urgency. And by the grace of God, I am no Moses. I'm just one of God's servants, but he knew and he felt that urgency, but his approach brought about resistance because his approach was not what God wanted. God wanted him to come back with a word that was born from his experience. And that's exactly where that I find myself, is a word that is born from experience. Moses was not there to just have an experience with a bush that was on fire yet not consumed. The consuming part of that experience was it consumed Moses' spirit. It did not consume the bush. It consumed Moses' spirit. And when it did, it replaced it with the Spirit of God. So many, many times, if we feel an urgency, we want to do things in ourselves. We want everybody to be awakened the way we are. We want everybody to feel an urgency like we feel. But Moses had to allow that consuming fire of God to consume him, to get his will out of the way and allow God's will and God's way to become prevalent in his life. It doesn't happen by chance. It happens on purpose. It happens because we have a desire and we have been awakened. It doesn't happen just because there was a splash of something that all of a sudden we felt. It happens, that splash of maybe the overflow of the Spirit in a service or in our own private time with God, we'll feel that presence of God. And I know that every single one of us have at times had encounters with God that had us awakened to certain things. But from that point on, it becomes a guided experience. It has to happen on purpose. We leave way too many things to chance. Oh, well, God will. It's like that there is a fatalistic predestinational attitude that gets a hold of us when we become encapsulated by the Spirit. And we begin to lay back and say, well, God has ordained from the beginning, and God has it in control, and God is going to do His work, and we're just going to let God. Let me go back to something that I closed out with last Sunday that segues into this lesson this morning. Was in Exodus chapter 14, probably one of the most eye-opening passages of God interacting with people and people with God, and how God brings about deliverance and how people are participants in that deliverance. God gets them out of Egypt, and His word was, I'm going to bring you out with a high hand. You're going to be victorious. You're going to be on top. Where they find themselves at the bank of the Red Sea. You're wondering why I haven't read anything yet. I'll read something in a minute. All right. I'm still in the Word, aren't I? So they find themselves at the bank of a Red Sea, but they also find themselves coming, or something coming from behind that they thought they had victory over. They had heard a word. Let me expand that just momentarily. Just understand something. Just remember this. And if ever there's an unction that you feel from heaven, I want you to feel that right now. Just remember. They were delivered not because of armament. They were delivered because of a word. Remember that. That is so powerful. Their time of awakening, for them to have a realization that a promise was going to be fulfilled, did not come about because Moses came in with another army and overcome Egypt. They walked out because of a word. The foundation of that is very simple in its application and in its context. Because if you look at how that God began all of the creation that is His masterpiece, it started with a word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, it started with a word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. It's really important for us to realize the sequence in how God works His will through His way. It was not the sun that He created. If you read, you'll find that on the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon. That was the fourth day. At the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was because God said it. These people get to victory of deliverance from Egypt because of a word. So then what is this word? What is it? A few thousand years later, you'll find Jesus himself praying. And he makes this assessment in his prayer. He's praying for the disciples. A very trying time was about to take place, and he's praying. And he makes the statement. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he clarifies what truth is. He said, thy word is truth. So why is this important? Why is this important for us today? What does this mean, and how does this impact our lives? This was 6,000 years ago that God said, let there be light. This was 2,000 years ago that God said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Why is this impactful for us? What does this mean for me? Because I get up and I'll go to, I don't know if you go to Starbucks or Dunkin's or to McDonald's coffee, or who? What, you may go to your own percolator or a little Keurig or your little drip. Personally, I like percolators, all right? If you don't have one, if you've never drank perk coffee, you should try it sometime. It's really good. I had some friends, and they were from different parts of the world, you so to speak. And when I say that, you're going to understand why I made that statement. They were great men of God. They were great, great men of God. And they were older. They were of this one come up in this group, and this one came up in this group. And they were great friends. But one of them came from a group that didn't believe. Now, they were apostolic. They just didn't believe in drinking coffee. They just didn't, okay? That was a big thing, seriously. And this one, about the same age, and he was of a different group, and he believed in drinking coffee and tea and Coke and, you know, whatever. And this one, he did it till he died. But now they were friends, and they were my friend. I'll never forget what one of them said. This one that believed in drinking coffee to this one. Now, they were very good, all right? They were good friends. Well, I don't know what in the world you're going to do when you get up there to heaven and we're all standing around that golden coffee pot. Of course, they had a good laugh about it. It was all good. It's all right to have differences of opinions. But can I tell you? There is no difference of truth. You see, the word is truth. So all of this got things rolling with just a word. It started with a foundation of truth. The word is truth, isn't it? And God said, let there be light. And if you go through that creation, we're going to go from Genesis to Revelations, and I'll do my best not to cram too much into it in between, all right? I'll do my best. I'm making no promises. But that word had an impact on the chaos and it brought from the chaos some order. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let me tell you the impact and the power of the word, the truth of the word. It will bring some order to your life. Because where chaos reigns, God will speak order through the word. It's so amazing and so powerful to realize that a word can go forth, and today someone over here gets something out of it and it ministers right to their life, and the same word is going forth, and yet another phrase will be accentuated over here for someone else, and right in the middle here, somebody else will hear another phrase through the word, and it highlights something to their life. It's because God is having truth to bring order to the chaos of our lives. It's the way God works. So it moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be life. And it just happened. It's hard to explain, except it just happens. And you go on through the creation, and you find God creating man. And he gives man a commission at the beginning of it. He gives him a word. He gives him some sustenance. Do you ever look at your life and wonder why you're just existing? Has anybody ever questioned that in your own self? I don't mean just coming out loud and saying, well, I just wonder why I'm existing. I'm talking about in your own quiet musings, in your own meditations, in your own quiet time with God and in life. And you sit and no one utters it out loud. You just question, why am I existing? And God gave Adam and Eve a word. He saw that man wasn't going to really thrive by being alone. So he gave him Eve. But then he gave him a word. And he said to him something. He said, I want you to have dominion. In fact, I am delivering to you through this word. You're going to have dominion over everything. Everything. No matter what it is, you have dominion. That means you have power over everything that has been created until this point. Everything. Now you say, oh, well, there's an exception. I don't know if God gave man dominion over the sun and the moon. I beg to differ with you. I remember a man that was sick even unto death, and God sent a man of God to him and said, you fixing to die. And he turned his face to the wall. And God sent that same man back to him and said, oh, because you've prayed, you're going to live. How can God show you that this word is true? You want the shadows to go forward, or you want them to go backward? He said, you know what? They can go forward at any time, but I just want to see them go backwards. And God did it. I'm familiar with a story of a man by the name of Joshua, the successor of Moses, and he was in the throes of a battle, and he just needed a little more daylight, didn't he? And he began to speak, and he spoke to the sun, and he said, sun, you stand still over here, and moon, you stand still over here. Let me tell you how God gives dominion to man. He gives it unequivocally. He doesn't put conditions on it. We are the one that put conditions on it. That's some powerful stuff, isn't it? But he tells man that he can eat of everything in this garden, everything in this field. He can do it, every of the beasts of the field, the herbs of the field, and the trees, and all that you have dominion is given to you from me, except that one. That one, don't eat it. Because when you do, you're going to die. So they knock on there for a few days, and all of a sudden, the liar shows up. But he quotes the word. At least it's a semblance of the word. It's at least a portion of the word. It sounds like what God has said, but he twists it. Do you know one of the prophets later on, and we're going to call him one of the minor prophets, and I know it's just what theologians have given them this caption, all right? There's major prophets and minor prophets. It really is tied to how much they contributed in writing or in how long of a period of time that they were involved in their era. So that's why they're called major and minor prophets. Let me tell you something. There's nothing minor about the word. It's all major. But one of those prophets said that there was a spirit of a Leviathan. Has anybody ever read that in there? It's in there. Go look it up. It's pretty interesting. So the spirit of that Leviathan came in, by this prophet's writings, came in to the believers. But that spirit of the Leviathan was one that would twist. That's what that word means, Leviathan. Would twist what somebody would say as the word of God would come forth. He would twist it and have it to have a different impact on somebody's. Here was that spirit of the Leviathan, that serpent, that old serpent, the devil. He twisted the word because he knew that man could not live. Even though Jesus had not said it at this point, he had already established it at this point. We don't have the record of it at this point, but the foundation of the truth was already there. God knew that man was having dominion over the fowl of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish and of the sea and all of the trees and the herbs. He knew that God, man had all of this, and he said, I'll give it to you for meat. But he said, I know you can't live by bread alone. You got to have some word. If you're going to thrive and you're going to survive and you're going to be victorious in the battle of life, you've got to have more than just meat and potatoes. You have to have some word. And the old serpent, he shows up. And he knows how vital to survival the word is. And so he takes the word and he turns it into a lie. Let me tell you how it's classified as a lie right here. Because he twists it and he makes it into something that it isn't. He says, why don't you eat of this tree? And the woman said, I can't. We're not going to eat of that tree. Because God said, when we eat of it, we're going to die. We're not even going to look at it. And the serpent said, oh, that's not true. He just don't want you to be as gods. You're not die. And the Bible says, and when she saw that the fruit was good to eat. We used to, as little children, would scare the bejesus out of me, sing in front of the church. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Anybody ever remember that song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it goes on and it talks about mouth what you say and feet where you go and hands what you do. Do you remember that song? She saw. Let me tell you why she saw. Because of what she listened to. It was a word, but it was twisted. We're living in an age, and I'm jumping thousands of years all of a sudden from the very beginning of time until right now. I'm looking at 2023. We are living in an age where it is very, very prominently becoming more evident in our society that we as individuals are being manipulated by what we hear. And we think this is a brand new phenomenon. Let me tell you what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an old spirit. We're dealing with an old spirit. It's been around since the beginning of time. It's twisted the word of truth at the very beginning of time. You're not going to take this and blame it on Eve and blame it on that. No, you have to take it and blame it on that spirit that twisted the truth. That great creation that God created. It was moving right along real smoothly until the truth became twisted and the liar stepped out. Well, why do I say? Let me tell you. Let's just go back to what Jesus said in St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16, it talks to us about it. And Jesus is talking, and he's having this big, long conversation with these people that say they believe in God. Pretty good back and forth. It's pretty good exchange here. You should read it sometime. St. John chapter 16, they're saying, well, we believe this and we believe that. And we are of our father Abraham. And he said, if you were of your father Abraham, you'd love me. But he gets on down in that chapter and he says, you are of your father the devil. Oh, he was pretty bold, wasn't he? But why did he say that? And he clarified what he was saying. He said he is a liar and the father of it. And a murderer from the beginning. But we don't have him killing anybody. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. The day you eat of this tree, you shall die. A little side note here. Be careful what you say, because there's been many a people killed by the tongue. You see, that's how the devil killed the spiritual Adam and Eve. He put a distance between. They became afraid of God then, whereas before they weren't afraid. That every day at the cool of the day, here would be God sent Adam, and here was the Word coming to walk with Adam every day, the voice of God, the Word of God. And Adam responded when he was a little slow in coming to commune with God that day. He said, where were you, Adam? Do you know God knew exactly where he was? Where were you, Adam? I was afraid. I've been listening to a liar. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to just jump. And if you want me to squeeze that one a little bit more, I will. I promise you I can come back to it and squeeze that little scenario more. But I want to squeeze some of that juice right into our lives right now. What we're dealing with right now. It's not a new spirit. It may be 2023, but it's not a new spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been around since the beginning. He's been killing with his word since the beginning. He's been convincing people that it's all right to kill each other with your word since the beginning. This is an old spirit. And we're dealing with it in 2023. I want to put some intensity into the presence of God today. It was not Moses' job to awaken the people for deliverance by his actions. It was Moses' job to awaken the desire for deliverance of those people by the word of God. If I talk to no one else from this point forward, nobody else under the sound of my voice, I'm going to talk to old John right now. It is not up to us to filter what thus saith the word of God. It is up to us that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Because, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that our deliverance and the plight of our world in 2023 is not going to come because of a politician in this area or some banker in this area. Let me tell you where it's going to come from. The Bible gives us a very clear-cut definition of foundational principles of how God works, and he does it through his word. Thy word is truth. It is how the word of God comes forth. And as it is manifest, do you know that the word of God can take on physical manifestations? Just as the Bible tells us that the devil would transform himself into a minister of light, didn't it? But it also tells us that we are to have the spirit of truth. If you want to read in St. John chapter 16, maybe around verse number 13, and he tells us this. He starts talking to us about the spirit of truth, and he said, you're going to have the spirit of truth, and it's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. That gives us the basis of understanding all of the way at the beginning, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Ladies and gentlemen, our bodies are over 70% or 80% of water. God moves still upon the face of the waters. He moves upon our lives. He does it for a reason. And he puts his word in our lives. And he does it because of the power of the word to bring order to the chaos of a world that doesn't know him. This is not about just who's in the White House. It's about who's in the prayer room. Because who's in the prayer room determines who's in the White House. It's the one that knows how to hear the voice of God that can discern between good and evil. And we're not swayed with every wind of doctrine that comes along. That's what the Bible talks about. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do if they just won't listen to the word of truth. I'll send them a strong delusion. You want to read that? It's in there. He said, I'll send them a strong delusion. I'll send them a word, all right. But you know what happened? This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, they'll believe a lie. And they'll all be damned. How does he do it? He does it through sending them a word. There was a time in the history of the people of Israel that there was a king called Ahab. He was a wicked king. He was a terrible king. And he was kind of wondering, should I go to battle or not? And he called his prophets in. Oh, go, it's good. It's good. You're going to have great victory. And the next one come in, the next one come in, the next one come in. And there just happened to be a man that knew God sitting there with him. He said, do you not have a prophet of God? Oh, yes, but I hate that man. He never says anything good to me. I hate him. He said, well, bring him in. All right, go get him. He come in, and guess what he done? He mimicked everything that had been said right before him. Oh, go, it's great. You're going to have great victory. And, oh, Ahab, he gets mad. He says, how many times have I adjured you not to lie to me? Even the devil knows the difference between truth and error. He knows the difference. He knows what's going to happen when the truth is established in your life and you're established in truth. And he knows what's going to happen when we believe a lie. He said, I'll tell you what I do see. I see Israel scattered. A sheep without a shepherd. So what I thought, that's exactly what I told you. He was going to say something terrible. Put him in the dungeon and feed him bread and water of affliction until I return. And the man of God, as he's being led out, turns around and says, if you return at all, God hasn't spoken by me. Well, how do you know this? How come all of these other prophets told me good things? He said, let me tell you why. Because God said, how am I going to convince Ahab to go to battle? And one of the angels said, I'll go down and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And I'll convince him. I'll convince him to go. Because it's his time to die. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of sounds that are coming from all around us today. They're coming from the right hand. They're coming from the left hand. They're coming from above. They're coming beneath. They're coming in front of us. But you know what the prophet says? He said, you're going to hear a little voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. God does it through his word. He does it through his word. And the liar would have us to believe we can't succeed. The liar will convince us that there's no hope for our society. The liar would have us to think, you hear me, for the next few moments. The liar would have us to believe that we can have trust in chariots and in horses. But let me tell you what the truth of the matter is. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God, because therein lies the established way of his people. Isaiah says, open the gates and let truth spring up from the ground. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It'll rise up, and it's the chaos of life. It looks like everything is going to hell in a handbasket. Let me tell you, God is in control. We're listening to the wrong voices if what we're thinking is nothing but doom and despair. There is an antidote for the liar. And that is just the truth. I know what the writer said. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I know what they are. I know that my thoughts are that you overcome. Let me tell you how we're overcomers. I told you, all liars shall have their place in the lake that burneth with fire. That's Revelations. We started in Genesis, we're closing out in Revelations. Let me tell you how we're overcomers. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word. Everybody say the word. And the word of our testimony. The writer said, instead of pastors, or instead of an ark of testimony, you're going to have pastors. Therein lies the word of the testimony. That's a wrinkle you never thought of, is it? You see, as it went around through the wilderness, it was called the ark of the testimony, because that encapsulated the miracles, the provisions. Oh my God, I feel it right now. And the signification of who was leader, Aaron's rod, an ephah, or a measure of manna. Here was the provision of God. Here was a signification of leadership, Aaron's rod that budded. That's why it was called the Ark of the Testimony. And the miraculous would take place. And it's the men that would bear that Ark of Testimony, as their feet would touch the waters would part in Jordan. And they were to follow that ark of testimony. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Instead of an ark of testimony, God has given us a pastor. I'm just telling you what the word says. That's just what the word says. And we're made an overcomer. We thought all this time it was about what we testified of. No, it's about what God testifies of among us. Because some of us have some testimonies that would curl the devil's horns a little bit more. Oh, yeah. About time we get down, we find another way to get down. That becomes our testimony. But let me tell you, God said, I'm going to give you a pastor instead of an ark. That's the word of your testimony. We're living in a day when people don't want leadership. They will. I'm closing. My time's up. They'll tell you it's all right to kill babies. And they'll give you all of the reasons why it is. They'll justify their ungodliness by the word. They'll take this and they'll twist it. There'll be people today that'll stand in front of a congregation and take this and twist it to placate the sins of people. But that's not how we overcome. It was the word that brought order to chaos in the beginning. And it's the word that will bring order to the chaos in 2023. It's the word, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to follow the leadership of a liar. We need to learn a lesson from the liar that says, I'm going to stand on the word of God. The word of God is true. Let every man be a liar. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for your power, your presence, and your spirit. God, I'm asking that we have been awakened to the spiritual aspect of what we're faced with in our lives. And help us to embrace the word of truth so that we can discern the difference between truth and a lie. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Would you stand with us as we get ready for the next service? Let's give the Lord a hand clap and let God know and somebody else know we appreciate it.